Unit 3. Recording 5. Exam practice. Listening. Part 1. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear two people on a radio program discussing music education for children.
Research shows that the optimum time to start music education is between the ages of 3 and 4. As well as improving manual dexterity and concentration, it seems that it may help emotional development too. And starting young on understanding musical notation lays down an excellent foundation for later on. The piano is the instrument that many parents want their children to start learning, and I think 3 years old is the right time to start.
Starting early is vital, but less demanding instruments would be my choice. Things like the recorder or a half-size guitar. Personally, I don't think the piano is the best instrument to start with so early. Children have to show the mental, physical, and emotional readiness to learn an instrument like the piano, which obviously takes a lot of effort and commitment. In my experience, very few children under 6 are able to take on that kind of challenge.
Well, I think children of that age can learn to play simple tunes on the piano and they soon progress to more complicated pieces if they can read music.
But a rather academic approach will turn children off for life if they're not ready for it. Enjoyment has got to be the priority.
Well, enjoyment is certainly important, but if you... Research shows that the optimum time to start music education is between the ages of 3 and 4. As well as improving manual dexterity and concentration, it seems that it may help emotional development too. And starting young on understanding musical notation lays down an excellent foundation for later on. The piano is the instrument that many parents want their children to start learning, and I think 3 years old is the right time to start.
Starting early is vital, but less demanding instruments would be my choice. Things like the recorder or a half-size guitar. Personally, I don't think the piano is the best instrument to start with so early. Children have to show the mental, physical, and emotional readiness to learn an instrument like the piano, which obviously takes a lot of effort and commitment. In my experience, very few children under 6 are able to take on that kind of challenge.
Well, I think children of that age can learn to play simple tunes on the piano and they soon progress to more complicated pieces if they can read music.
But a rather academic approach will turn children off for life if they're not ready for it. Enjoyment has got to be the priority.
Well, enjoyment is certainly important, but if you...
Extract 2. You hear part of an interview with a rock climber called Ben.
So, Ben, you're well known in the climbing world as a bit of a loner. You prefer climbing without other people. Is that true?
Well, to some extent. I've always talked to other climbers about the technical side of things, training, equipment and things like that. But at the end of the day, you've got to learn independently, through trial and error. If you're climbing in a group, you'll always compare yourself to others, and that doesn't always help you to improve. It's good to admire other climbers, but different things work best for different people.
So, you never climb with other people?
As far as possible, I climb alone, but occasionally I look to others for support. When I was younger, I used to do most of my climbing during the summer holidays, and I haven't done much winter climbing, so I still feel out of my depth climbing alone on rock faces covered in ice. When it's dangerous like that, you need people who've been brought up with it. It's good to have people around to advise you on what's a safe manoeuvre to make in the circumstances.
So, Ben, you're well known in the climbing world as a bit of a loner. You prefer climbing without other people. Is that true?
Well, to some extent. I've always talked to other climbers about the technical side of things, training, equipment and things like that. But at the end of the day, you've got to learn independently, through trial and error. If you're climbing in a group, you'll always compare yourself to others, and that doesn't always help you to improve. It's good to admire other climbers, but different things work best for different people.
So, you never climb with other people?
As far as possible, I climb alone, but occasionally I look to others for support. When I was younger, I used to do most of my climbing during the summer holidays, and I haven't done much winter climbing, so I still feel out of my depth climbing alone on rock faces covered in ice. When it's dangerous like that, you need people who've been brought up with it. It's good to have people around to advise you on what's a safe manoeuvre to make in the circumstances.
Extract 3. You hear part of an interview with a restaurant critic called Amanda Downing.
You're such a household name, it must be terrifying for staff when you go into a restaurant. How do they react?
It's true that a lot of people know me, at least in the restaurant world, so I always eat with a friend and they'll make the booking. Often, though, I get recognised, and when that happens, it's inevitable, I suppose, that they take a bit more care over serving the food, and some seem a bit nervous. I've never been given a complimentary meal, though, or anything like that. That would be just too obvious, and of course it could be considered unethical to accept a gift like that.
And what makes a good restaurant?
A good restaurant is one where the management and waiting staff have given some thought to why their customers are there. Most restaurant owners believe that the main reason people go to restaurants is for the food, but that's completely wrong. The main reason people go to restaurants is to have a good time, not because they're hungry. So there might be a big difference between the priorities of a restaurant and the priorities of diners. For example, one thing that a restaurant gets judged on is the quality of service. What restaurant owners think is good is service that is efficient, but what customers have as their priority is friendly service.
You're such a household name, it must be terrifying for staff when you go into a restaurant. How do they react?
It's true that a lot of people know me, at least in the restaurant world, so I always eat with a friend and they'll make the booking. Often, though, I get recognised, and when that happens, it's inevitable, I suppose, that they take a bit more care over serving the food, and some seem a bit nervous. I've never been given a complimentary meal, though, or anything like that. That would be just too obvious, and of course it could be considered unethical to accept a gift like that.
And what makes a good restaurant?
A good restaurant is one where the management and waiting staff have given some thought to why their customers are there. Most restaurant owners believe that the main reason people go to restaurants is for the food, but that's completely wrong. The main reason people go to restaurants is to have a good time, not because they're hungry. So there might be a big difference between the priorities of a restaurant and the priorities of diners. For example, one thing that a restaurant gets judged on is the quality of service. What restaurant owners think is good is service that is efficient, but what customers have as their priority is friendly service.